Joe, how are you? How you doing?
How's life in L.A., Joe?
Hey, I'm sort of settling in here. I don't have my family out here, and I was telling the writers yesterday something weird. I was talking to my wife a couple of days ago, and I was having dinner with a friend. I said it's real close to where I live. Here I'm telling my wife it's real close to where I live, and it's just felt strange.
How about the Dodger uniform, Joe? How about National League? I know you had that trip to Beijing in the spring, so that kind of threw you off a little bit. But how about being back in this environment with, let's face it, that's probably the second or third best franchise in the sport. Now you're managing them with all the great history they have. I saw opening day with all the pitchers. How about now out in Dodger Stadium? How's it feel to be a new L.A. Dodger manager?
You spent so many years, Chris, in the other dugout coming in, dreading to come to this ballpark and having to face either Koufax or Drysdale or Sutton or Bill Singer, Hershiser and Fernando. And it's nice to be in this side. And, you're right. I mean, that's the reason I'm probably still managing. I certainly, when I left the Yankees, I didn't anticipate doing this anymore, but when the Dodgers called, just because of their history, you had to certainly listen.
Does it feel different, Joe? Does it feel like, just like another year, or does it feel really different being with the Dodgers rather than the Yankees?
It's getting there. It certainly felt different because, I'd never been anywhere for 12 years, and to, have everything that went on in New York, it was greatest time of my career, there's no question about it, and I think at the time I left, it was just time to have that happen. But I was just curious to see, Mike, if managing was going to be fun again, because the last few years in New York, wasn't fun anymore.
You made that statement, and it's an interesting one. It was time to go. It was the right time. You almost get the feel now from the outside that you can tell that for everybody concerned, it was the right time, huh?
I think so. Again, and you may be a victim of your own success, and I certainly don't sit here and say I'm responsible for this, that, and the other thing, because without the players, we certainly couldn't have got where we had accomplished. But won't you, as much as we did early on, become extraordinary, and I find myself, having to defend myself, and when I say myself, I mean my team, for winning more games than anybody in the big leagues. And that, when it got to that point, I didn't know what message I could deliver that would make these players feel good about themselves.
Joe, how about the passion? I mean, we all know L.A. doesn't have that. It's a great baseball place, but not the passion of New York. Do you miss that at all or not?
You do miss it in a way, Chris. I don't miss the madness. I stopped last week before Miami. We had an off day on the Monday, and I flew home. And you sort of look at the front and back page of the newspapers, and you realize that's one area you don't miss about being in New York.
Joe, it was depicted that you had this team that was going to need the Torrey touch, where you had almost a divided Dodger team with the old guys and the talented young guys. Was the team as much a troubled team as it was depicted?
I wouldn't say troubled. I think it was just a club that, you had a lot of young kids that were highly touted coming out of the minor leagues, and I think they got to the big leagues and sort of, expected that. And then you had some veterans like Jeff Kent and Nomar, who know how it is to work, and certainly you have to earn what you get every day. And I think it was just it was a lot of frustration from what everything in the first place, Colorado swept there, and then all of a sudden it just became open nerves, and I think a lot of things got out to the media that, from everybody I talked to, it was probably exaggerated a little bit, but it certainly was something there.
Joe, how about, do you like Matt? I mean, is it fun to manage back in the National League? I mean, have you gotten a kick out of, the manager's a little bit more involved? You got more decisions to make? We all know what the differences are. Do you get a kick out of the National League again or not?
Well, it's certainly, you can't, sit back and say, that pretty well, so they're not at a gap. For certain, strategy-wise, this league is a lot more going on.
And how about this? I mean, how about the teams, Joe? You've got to play, obviously, lots of games in this division. You haven't been in Nashville. I know you had it in a league. How long does it take you to get to know the league? How long does it take you to get to know clubs that you got to play 18 times in a division? You can't do it this quick, right? It's going to take you half a season before you get a good feel of, you know, who to pitch to, who not to pitch to, go with some hunches. It's going to take you a little while to learn that, right?
You hit it right on the head. And that's the tough part. I remember when I started with the Yankees, making a decision in Minnesota and walking a certain guy to get the next guy. I don't remember who those guys are right now, but I remember later on in the year I made a bit different decision based on what I had, you know, gotten to know. But here, you're right. I mean, you get to a situation, who do you want to pitch to? I mean, you know, it's easy to say I don't want to pitch to Todd Helton. I mean, that's a stretch, but there are certain guys who and, you know, you really rely more on stats. And, of course, like Honey, I mean, the pitch last year gives me pretty good
Right, we're obviously having some trouble with Joe's phone line. We'll take a time out, Mike.
We didn't want to break, but we're going to have to see if we can hook Joe back up. We're trying to get through it, but we reached the point where we can't. We're back.
No
right
return.
Back.
I can't do this. I saw you one night, Joe, highlights of it, with that Joe look after the Nate McLeod home run. That may have been the low point against Sato there against the Pirates, right, in the ninth inning?
Well, it certainly was a surprise. I hope I always have that look on my face when my closer gives up one. And you know, everything I heard about Sato, you know, is true once you're a little more comfortable watching him. He had a short spring. He had a calf injury that he didn't get as much work in the spring as he normally gets, and he really didn't get smoothed out. Last night, obviously, he was much better, but he's pretty special, and considering the fact that he's, what, 39 years old or something, he's pretty special. And, of course, I've been spoiled for 12 years or 11 years with Mariano.
You have, Joe, but you got a good bullpen. You know, that's the thing. You got used to the best ever, but you have a very good bullpen. Your guys at the back of that bullpen are good. They're good throwers. Broxton, you know, all those kids. I know Sato's an old man, but, I mean, you got a very good back of the bullpen.
Well, you know, Mike, the interesting part about it, it's all going to come down to how deep our starters get us. And then if we can get into the seventh inning, we can piece the seventh inning together. And you're right, Broxton is special and Sato is special. You know, I still have Proctor, who's going to be the workhorse, and he'll take the ball all the time, and he seems to be a little more consistent and a little more comfortable.
I give you credit with Juan Pierre, Joe. I mean, everybody had him out of the mix, and Ethier out in left field, and you know, I haven't followed it that carefully, but I know Pierre now starts against the lefty yesterday. So you came in with an open mind. I know he's got a huge contract. You didn't want to eat it, but you gave Pierre a chance to win a job. He's won his job back. So tell us about Juan Pierre here for a sec.
Well, Chris, you know, that was the toughest job for me. You have four quality guys. Two are young. Two are veterans. Andrew's obviously struggling at this point. And I, you know, it was tough. I told Juan Pierre that he wasn't going to start opening day, and Ethier had a great spring. And, you know, as we progressed, and you want to give Pierre a game here and a game there, and then all of a sudden, you know, he gave us a little life at the top of the batting order, and he hasn't let go since. So, you know, I tell these players, somebody's going to get aggravated every day. Just make sure they aim their irritation at me and not the other player that's playing in their place, because it's not their fault that they're in the lineup, it's mine. So it's been finally it's gotten to the point of you know, players understanding that if somebody plays well, they should be playing.
You know, Joe, we spent a lot of time here, and it seems to come up a lot with the Mets about, you know, and I think part of it is the presence of Jeter, but they don't have a leader, they don't have this, they don't have that. When you go to a new team, do you look, I mean, you were blessed with Jeter for a decade and a special relationship and a special leader, but do you look to have a guy? Is it important on your team, or was Jeter just an unusual case?
Well, Jeter was unusual when you consider that, first off, you know, the New York Yankees and a 20-year-old kid coming to the big leagues, and I recognized something about Jeter toward the end of the 96 season, that players like Paul O'Neill and Tino and all those guys were looking to him to do something, and that was very unusual. Here, we've got a young catcher who's pretty special, Russell Martin, and when I ask him if he wants to play third, his eyes light up because that's where he originally played. So he gives us some flexibility, but he has definitely leadership qualities. You know, I'm not going to compare him to Jeter because he has a long way to go, but he certainly is pretty special in his own right. And the one guy I found out a lot about since I've been here this short period of time is Rafael Furcal. You never realize how good this kid is until you watch him every day.
And he's having a great year for Joe, hitting 366 and a hard hitting catcher who can play third. Hey, remind you anybody or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a lot better than I do.
Joe, how about the you know, we all know the Lasorda days. You know, Sinatra was in the clubhouse, and you know, he was such a big personality. Same kind of thing now. Dodger manager, you get all these actors and actresses, and
we know Joe's big.
He loves that.
We know Joe's big with the stars. Come on.
Yeah. So I mean, I would figure it's the same kind of thing, right, for you, Joe, out there, like it was for Lasorda 20, 30 years ago.
It's pretty much baseball. My office is smaller than Lasorda's was. You know, I switched it around. It's an interesting story because I'd like my coaches to all be together, but our clubhouses, which are going to get redone after this season, they're very small, and the original manager's office was very small, and Tommy moved out into what was a trainer's room or a coach's room, a coach's room, and he had more room, and all the coaches were all over the place. One clubhouse, some were in the office I'm occupying now, and I decided I want to leave all my coaches in one place because I spent a lot of time in there with them. And I go into this office, which was originally the manager's office, and on the door, painted over about 100 times, you see Alston, manager, on the door.
Wow.
And, you know, to me that was pretty special. But my office is as big as a walk-in closet, and so we don't have room for many people in there.
All right, how about you know, Arizona, Joe? You've played them five times. I think they've beaten you 4 out of 5. That was a two-game series in L.A., so I think you lost 4 out of 5. They're very good. Team you're going to be looking at, I mean, I don't know about the rest of this division. What's your thoughts on what you see with the Diamondbacks in the five games you played them?
To me, this whole division is you know, pitching rich. Even the Giants, I know Zito's struggling, but they can send some guys. You know, I have a couple of starters, Kane, obviously. And then guys that bullpen all throwing 95 miles an hour. But I think Arizona, without question, the confidence they got last year, they have young players, aggressive, Orlando Hudson special, you know, Connor Jackson, and then, you know, once they got Heron to go along with Webb, and if Randy gets straightened out, I mean, they've got a pretty imposing pitching staff.
When you look and you see pick up the paper, or you're watching the highlights on TV and you see the Yankees, is it weird to watch them? I mean, is it weird to get Yankee news, or is it already now something that you've kind of already gotten used to?
Well, it's weird because, you know, you get to the ballpark in the afternoon and you get a chance before you even go out on the field to start watching ball games back east.
Right. So you get to watch them a lot.
I do. I get to watch them, and, you know, I know people think when I left there, you know, I don't want anything to do with them, but it's hard to, you know, to separate the fact that you made a lot of friends and you had a lot of success, and it's you know, it's fun to watch guys that you've been watching from a different perspective all these years.
Well, what do you think so far? Give us a thought on it. Fans would love to hear a thought on the Yankees. What do you think?
Well, they've had a lot of injuries. It's really tough, you know, that the young pitchers use, especially, you know, with the rib problem. You know, Kennedy, which we all got excited about him last year, and I'm sure he's going to be a good pitcher. And that's the one thing you don't know. You don't know when the young kids are going to be ready to do it. I mean, I am faced with that here. We have a lot of young kids, and we don't know really how many of them are going to occupy the future here. But you certainly have to find out, and you can't rush maturity. I'm happy for Moose. You know, Moose looks like he's really, really gotten off to a good start, and Wong certainly doesn't surprise anybody.
You know, John, I'm probably missing somebody, but outside of Casey Stengel, and he managed the Dodgers when they were not the Dodgers, in the 30s, I mean, how many guys have had a chance in their lifetime to manage the Dodgers? We've had Yankees and Red Sox, McCarthy, but how many guys have we had Dodgers and Yankees? I mean, that's, you can't get any more significant. You got Sandy Koufax on one coast and Whitey Ford on the other coast. I mean, I can't get any more significant. That would be quite a thrill for me, having a chance to manage both these franchises. You know that?
You know, you're right. And I think Casey is the only other one. And as far as the Red Sox and the Yankees, I guess Ralph Houck was another
one. Oh, Ralph Houck,
yeah,
you're right.
Ralph
Forgot
Houck
about Ralph
too,
Houck,
yes.
Yep.
But, you know, it's nice to be able to sit there about 3 or 4 times at dinner with Sandy Koufax and then have him come out in his shorts and help my pitchers in spring training.
Yeah.
It was certainly different from going to Tampa to Vero Beach and, you know, when I go to the ballpark at 6:15 in the morning and you don't see, you know, a car on the road. It's certainly different. It was a little refreshing. Of course, next year we move into Arizona, which will be a lot more hectic.
Well, Joe, it's great talking to you. I'd like to hear that voice again. You're going to be a pretty good team here. So you hope the Giants pick you up, but you're going to be a pretty good ball club, that's for sure.
Thanks, Chris. We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.